tonight it is my great pleasure to welcome for the first time as a speaker to Many Rivers. He is a frequent guest in the store, and Paul Rest is the author of this new book that you see over here, Aikido, An Everyday Approach to the Martial Art That Can Transform Your Life and the World. He is both a student and teacher of Aikido for 20 plus years, holds the rank of fourth degree black belt, has studied locally with Betsy Hill, Richard Strozzi Heckler, T.J. Bell, David Kipe, Mary McLean, Bob Noah, and others, including direct students of Osensei, the founder of Aikido. Has published over 400, that's a lot, 400 articles, essays, book reviews, interviews, and profiles relating to Aikido and the martial arts worldwide. He's also a regular contributor to examiner.com on Aikido and the martial arts. He also studies Katori Shinto Ryu, the oldest Japanese martial art, and Soto Zen Buddhism. So please join me in welcoming Paul Frederick Rest.
Thank you, and it's a pleasure to be here. Hope Betsy shows up.
Whether or not she shows up.
I know. She's here in spirit.
Exactly.
So, I thought give you a little background on the book. So this book started as notes on a yellow pad, like this, and the notes seemed to take on a life of their own. And over the course of one or two years, I began to see that this was a book. And so I actually approached it that way. And the book was about another 4 years in writing it, and then another 2 years where I was perfecting it and really getting clear how I wanted it to be and look. And it's divided into a number of sections. It's very readable. The section on mind, body, spirit. And then there are things that we do every day, like breathing, walking, standing, turning. And it's how we can approach this from the standpoint of what Aikido teaches us. And I think it's just really, really interesting, because one of the things that the art does is it helps us pay attention to what we're doing every day. And it's sort of, in a sense, it's there's a Zen part of that. Betsy!
Hello!
So, good to see you. Jim.
Good to see you. Yes.
Oh, awesome. Yeah,
hi. I just started.
Okay, good. Good, well, here.
Thank you.
Sticky on the bottom, so.
Good. So, this is one of my teachers in the beginning. I think we go back 24 years now.
Yep.
So it's what Aikido does is it offers a unique way to see the universe. And I think in a sense this is how we can naturally or should be naturally seeing what our everyday lives are about and how they unfold. So I'm going to read a little bit here from the beginning, and so I talk about Osensei, who was the founder of Aikido, and his dates are 1883 to 1969. So he's somewhat of a contemporary. He visited the West once. He came to Hawaii in, I believe, 1967. And somebody asked him, what do you think of Hawaii? And he said, his response was, too many pesticides. So he... One of the teachers here in the Northern California said that so Osensei was a contemporary of Gandhi, and other really important world figures like Einstein. But unfortunately, he was born and grew up in Japan, so his impact in the West until the occupation of Japan was really limited. And what happened was with the GIs and Japanese language students that went to Japan after the end of the war, discovered this man who could do these unexplainable things. And so they became students and studied with him, and then they began bringing this back. And of course, when they came back to California in the 1960s, California was fertile ground for something this different. And it really took root here in Northern California. And as a result now, I think there are, I think Aikido is in 70 or 80 countries now around the world. And I don't know how many, I think 60 or 80 million practitioners. So it's spread from a small one man in a small group in Japan, really an exponential manner. So Osensei grew up and was a traditional martial artist. And in 1925, he had an experience of enlightenment. And he took this idea with the traditional idea of Budo, which was the way of the warrior in Japan, and he turned it on its head. And he said, Budo is actually the way of love. And it's about harmonizing and not killing or defeating your opponent. So I wrote, it is this way of love that Aikido embraces. However, the way or path has a martial edge. The techniques that constitute the flesh and bones of Aikido are all based on powerful pins, throws, blocks, and strikes that have at their core potentially lethal outcome. What Aikido offers is an alternative, so this will not need to happen. And I think one of the most unique aspects of Aikido is that, as one of my teachers say, he believes that it's actually altering our DNA from fight and flight to something different. So I write, at the heart of Aikido lies something profoundly transcendental that is beyond one's ability to logically describe using words. At times when I am teaching a class and am at a loss for words, I simply demonstrate the movement I am working with. The flow goes out like ripples in water. Everyone, including me, will have an impression or glimpse or even an experience of the founder's vision. Ultimately, I think this is what draws people into Aikido and what will keep the art alive. All one needs to do is look, that is, as it flows out from each technique taught in every class and workshop. So it's about having something where you're in this world, this reality, and you, through this art, you can step into something that is different, that's transformative, that can be used every day. So you don't, as Chance and I were talking earlier, it's not limited to rolling and falling. One of the joys of Aikido is that it also allows people to experience the full reality of the art without necessarily taking rolls or falls. That you can move into this no matter how old you are or how young. And it's available to everyone. I think one of the biggest discoveries for me was as I went through a series of two major illnesses, that the art allowed me to keep my my core, my center alive. And this was especially showed up when I had cancer, that people that came and worked with me, the nurses and the doctors, said there's something different about what is happening with you. It's not the normal journey that one has with this illness. And to me, that's very much attributable to the training and the experience I had with cancer, and how the Aikido changed that from me being the victim, to me turning that around where I was able to actually, in one sense, blend with what was happening and transform it. It makes things that are ordinary and it transforms them into something extraordinary. But it's not magic. It's just very basic understanding how the universe works and how we can connect with that. Because at heart, the secret and the joy of Aikido is being able to connect and to be able to learn how to move with various people on and off the mat. And by what I mean on the mat is when we're training. So those who've read this book will notice that a lot of the illustrations I use are illustrations that are done when you're shopping. And one of the funniest illustrations is one of my students was always complaining about the Whole Foods store, because we all know how narrow the aisles are. And she kept bumping into people and having just a terrible time completing her shopping. And so she started using a couple of the exercises I gave her, and she was able to actually move through the aisles without people bumping into her or she bumping into other people. So it works. And this is, I think, one of the real pleasures of exploring Aikido is the fact that you can take it off the mat. It's not limited to learning a certain set of techniques and moving this way or that way. You can use it every way and every day with what you do. And this is one of the things I learned from Betsy in the beginning, was that you could take what you are learning and it can be fun. It's not just doing a set of techniques. So let's do a couple of questions, and then I'm going to do one more reading from the book. So anybody have any thoughts or
Could you talk a little bit about what this woman did to change her attitude or her behavior in the shopping?
Well, I think the main thing she did with the exercise was about blending. Rather than seeing things in a sense, you're square, your energy is square, and you're moving around as a square. People, when they shop, are often, you have a cart, and that's square, and so we line up with the energy of the cart, and we become a square moving down, I'm dating myself, but I think everybody here remembers Pong. So, you're moving down the aisle, and you're creating this energy system, which reflects the cart. And so what you can do is you can shift that, and you can start with your imagination, rounding out your energy. And that alone can change the dynamic of being in a space like this. I think this is the smallest store in the whole Foods empire. I think originally it was a drugstore.
Tuttle, I think.
Yeah. And they're but I think they're still in Forestville.
Are they?
Yeah. But it's the aisles are very narrow. And it's, people when they shop often will stand in the aisle and look at something and try to figure out what they want, and they'll just stand there And, you know, I'm sure those of you who have shopped there have had this experience. They'll just stand there and block the aisle. So if you can change your energy, you know, how you configure yourself, that will shift, that the other person will respond to that. And it works, because people, we're energetic entities. We're constantly adapting, adjusting, checking other people's energy out. And most of this is done subconsciously. We're not aware of what we're doing. And what Aikido offers is a way to begin working with that and understanding that. Does that answer?
Well, I would just love to see these two carts and people looking at how they have transformed themselves into round beings as opposed to square.
Be a square,
beings.
Pal.
No, I mean, if you're
be a square.
Yeah. So if I'm here and I'm square and I'm coming, we're going to run into each other. But if I adjust here, so if I adjust my energy and I become round, see, then it's very easy for her and I to move around each other.
Okay.
And you know, and as a result, we both felt that. I mean, there was something that dynamically shifted between this and so this is what I Osensi was talking about, moving in harmony. So going from this to this.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And Osensi, my teacher, Robert Nendo Sensei, trained directly with Osensei and was kind of a favorite student of his, and he'd take him around to different spiritual groups in Japan that he was doing lectures at about Aikido. And of course he wouldn't do technique or anything, but Bob said he always included triangle, circle, and square as being the basic foundation forms of the universe. So when we practice, we combine those movements, but like Paul was saying, it's really fun to play with that in your daily life. I mean, if you find yourself moving in a square way, can you shift it to a triangle or a circle, depending on the situation? And triangle being for a lot for initiation of movements and for connection, and circle being for the blend, and the earth aspect of returning home is the square. So it's just great fun. I mean,
it is.
I started when I was 17 and a half, and you know, the way I was trained and taught to teach myself Aikido by my teacher, I love it. It's just more fun. It's always fun. Yeah. So, and it's not, like Paul said, it's not just for people interested in martial arts, or I wouldn't have continued.
You had a question?
Yeah, you mentioned the word imagination, and I'm interested to the extent to which imagination is brought to bear and how you understand it as a way of bringing into reality the these modalities of energetic shape and energy and things like that.
Well, imagination is an important part of anything we do. And I think a lot of times if we're not sure of something, we start with imagination, and then we sort of see how that develops and works. So when learning something new, which is what happens when people start Aikido, it's all Greek. So the imagination has to be used, that you can say, oh, you imagine this happening. This can happen. And then you imagine that I can do this. And then eventually the body, mind, spirit and the imagination link up and it begins to appear. And it without imagination, I think we would be a very boring species. Because that really is one of the things that allows us to, in a sense, transcend who and what we are at any time, and to move into another dimension, so to speak, and explore that dimension and see what's there for us. Does that help?
Yeah.
Jim.
Paul, what was the most difficult part for you personally in writing this book?
The most difficult part was the part where to let it go. Mm. the because in various stages you have, when you're writing and then you move into the publishing process, you have to look at, you know, just letting it go. And finally my publisher said, no book is perfect. So just, it's time to let it go. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it I kept wanting to make this change and that change. I said, no, you know, the book's fine. Let it go. It's not perfect. There are going to be typos and a couple typos here and there. Don't just let it go. So that kept me up at night. But then once I got this, which was the first proof copy, I said, okay, this, yeah, it's what I saw. It's what I saw in my imagination when I first started working with the book. And I sort of, where would this book go? So right now the book is sold in, has had 9 countries, both in a book and a Kindle format. Yeah. So at one point you have to let it go. Yeah, Jen.
So what was the best part of writing this book?
The best part was when I got this.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, when I actually physically got the copy and I looked at it, and so there were all these choices, like the cover. This is a an Enso by John Stevens, who wrote this book here, and then I chose cream colored paper rather than the usual white, and I chose the, you know, designed the cover, and you know, the whole thing came out of my imagination.
It's your baby.
Yeah. So it and then when I actually saw it and I went, yes, this is what I saw.
Okay.
Yeah. Betsy?
Yeah, Paul was actually living at our place when he was working with the cancer, and I just wanted to comment on his comment that he really, I was amazed actually, because I usually stop in before I go down and teach class a few minutes early, and he'd be relaxing or watching a cooking show, and he was in the best spirits. And this is after chemo or whatever else he was going through, or throwing up or whatever, and he was always so positive. And I walk out of there and go, boy, how is he doing it? Not only that, but you could relax through it. That was the one, because I'm not a good relaxer by nature. It's just hard for me. And I really got a lot out of watching you be able to relax through your treatments and through the recovery period and everything. You just kept going back to earth and relaxation, earth and relaxation. And I was going, I was really duly impressed with your Aikido and relationship to cancer. It was like I was grateful that I had, that you were on the property, so that I had that kind of awareness of how you were handling it, and also took you to a couple of your treatments and how you handled going into your treatments, and it was great. So that's testimonial for Paul doing his Aikido.
So a little bit of a backstory: I'm adopted, so I have no genetic information about my parents. I mean, I know who they were, or have some, but I ended up with very unusual cancer in the tongue, and I underwent 35 radiation sessions and 4 chemotherapies during the course of four or five months, and I was in very good shape, so they said they wanted to be very aggressive, and the result is I still have trouble eating really spicy foods, but that's about it. And but it was very grueling, and at the same time, as Bessie said, the Aikido kicked in and kept me kept me centered. I was able to view what was happening to me from my center and not from what I saw in the mirror as I sort of collapsed inward. My body, you know, as it changed. So it was without that, I think the experience would have been a lot worse.
Just one more comment. Aikido is really great for childbirth too. Really, I really relied on it when we had our daughter Shanti. It was the bottom line. Yeah. So my training, yeah, really helped. Yeah.
Yeah. Great.
I was curious what was it that got you interested or involved in Aikido, or more interested actually, initially.
Well, my daughter took Aikido at a dojo that Betsy taught at in Centerfield in Grayton. It's no longer there, but I would drop her off and then pick her up, and I would watch. And then when she got to be 12, this unfortunate thing happens a lot of times in Aikido where the boys are developing faster, and they become more using their muscles, and the girls tend to drop out. And that's what happened to her. She switched from Aikido to girls basketball. So then one of the classes, Betsy, said, why don't you come for a 15-minute introductory session before classes? Yeah, it was back in the dark ages. And so I actually went to one of those, and the first person I ran into was Andrea, who pulled me out on the mat and tried to show me a two-step, which is a very basic Aikido movement, and I had no idea what she was doing. But it was interesting enough that I like challenges. So then I went back and took my first class, which Betsy taught, and the other main teacher I had there was David Kite. And the two of them were, kept me interested in the sense of that I was always felt I walked out of there, I was like, I want to learn this. And, you know, like, or how did this happen? How did they do this? Because, of course, I couldn't. I had two left feet and two right arms. So it was very difficult, or there's a very big learning curve with any martial art. And with Aikido, because a lot of the things that are happening are counterintuitive, as you know. It's a way we have to change our thinking. So, any other questions? How are we doing on time?
We're doing fine.
You're doing fine.
Okay, good. So one of the parts of the book that's really a lot of fun that I've gotten a lot of comments on is a section in the book of Class at the Dojo, which is where I talk about what an experience is like going to an Aikido just keep dropping out.
That's more important.
I think it's an announcement about tonight. So the it takes someone that has not gone to a martial arts class, and it walks them through the experience of what it's like to take the class. You have a beginning, and you have a middle, and you have an end. And some of the class is, you know, formal, where you bow in and bow out. But one of the most fun things about Aikido, if you go to an Aikido class here, or in Moscow, or Japan, or Sydney, Australia, it's going to follow pretty much the same format. So you're going to be able to step into that universe, that reality, and there'll be some familiarity with it, whether you're understanding the language or not. A couple of weeks ago, a person with one of the places I trained was visiting from Russia. He had, you could say his name in English, and hello, and thank you, and that was it. But he was able to actually step in and participate in the class just because of the class was the same where he trained in Russia as here. And that's an experience I've heard from people that have traveled all over the world, and it's an experience I've had when I've traveled. And the form is very unique, but it's like putting on a favorite shirt or sweater. So you can go in and you're very comfortable there. And the other part is that people that come in and observe, one of the really special parts of Aikido is that if you come in as a visitor, somebody will come over, sit down with you, and explain what's going on, so you have some understanding of the dynamic of the class. I've never been to an Aikido dojo where somebody that has walked in has been left sitting there. I mean, they're always welcomed as a guest, and there'll be somebody there, usually the sensei or a senior student will come over and say, this is what's happening. I know it doesn't make a lot of sense, but it's about energy, and usually people can feel that energy flowing from just where they're sitting down and observing. And the other part that is really fun is that the Aikido is, in a sense, how we are naturally in a sense programmed to move. I guess that'd be an easy way. But because we're creatures that want to connect with each other, and we're a society that on one hand has all these mechanisms to create, but on the other hand they're done at a distance. Facebook is a great example. So you connect, but it's electronic. You're not actually connecting with the person. Now you can go an instant messenger and talk to people and video chat and so forth. But we're hardwired to connect, and we have to overcome our reticence about connecting. And probably one of the real challenges in Aikido is its partner practice. You're with someone, you're touching them, you're being touched by them, and you're getting instant feedback. You know, is what you're doing working, or is it not working? And the big problem and the big question is, I think, for our society, is how can we safely learn to connect and be with others in a way that is mutually supportive, and it's not about one person winning. And, you know, we're dealing with this now in our national election, and it appears one candidate is totally about him winning, and the and from what he has said thus far, it's obviously about him, period. So we have an opportunity in Aikido, and I talk about this in the book, how we can actually configure our energy and learn how to do that, so that connecting becomes not just an opportunity, it becomes a joy. And I think that that's what is difficult for a lot of people, is how can we overcome this natural reticence we have about connecting, about being connected, and walking through that portal, that door. Without that, I think, you know, we end up, I think, like a lot of Donald Trump's followers, very angry and very fearful about change and about understanding that there are many different points of view and varieties of experiences. So it's as one friend wrote on, this election is about America's IQ, but for me it's also about our spiritual values. And, you know, where are these values that we claim to hold? So any additional thoughts or questions or comments?
I'd really like to say that Paul, and also I do it, and probably other people as well, but if you're interested in Aikido and you're not interested in rolling around or being struck at or any of those things that are on our normal learning curve, talk to one of us and we'll, you know, because this is all adaptable. All this training that we've done is adaptable to situations like Paul. That's why I like this book so much, because it really talks about, hey, you're in the grocery store. He does a lot of grocery store scenarios in there. Mm-hmm. And you know, can you move from your back? Can you move from your earth? Can you get out of the way of some glance or comment or something? It's all really useful stuff. And as we, you know, get up in years, it becomes even more useful. So I'd really like to say that if anyone's interested in it but wouldn't go into a dojo, talk to one of us, you know. Certainly can work with it, you know. To me, that's the great joy of Aikido. It's not for just, it doesn't discriminate, you know. It's not for just one type of person who's interested in a certain kind of personal power. It's for everyone, you know. Yeah.
I think one of the funniest illustrations I have, and I actually wrote in the book, was I was in Safeway and finding somebody there to help you can also often be a chore. And I was looking for something, and I was actually trying out one of the exercises, how I could be relaxed and centered in an environment where it's a very unfriendly, can be a very unfriendly environment. And there was something I was looking for, and it wasn't there. And this woman stopped, clerk suddenly appeared, and she came up and she said, "Can I help you?" Now, you get that at Oliver's, but you don't get that at Safeway. And I said, "Well, I'm looking for something." And she said, "Well, it's not there. And I think, we just got a shipment. It's in the shipment. I'll go back and get it. You go ahead and shop, and I'll find you." So I went ahead and shopped, and she came back. And to me, that was all about the energy that I was bringing to the conversation. I was open to, you know, relaxed and open to something happening, and also to having connection. You know, I wasn't afraid of connectivity. If you look at people's bodies when they are in public, like shopping especially, what you're going to see is incredible tenseness, and where, you know, it's like, it's, you know, it has to be done, and there is, I mean, I don't want to criticize Whole Foods, but very, I think I can count on this hand the number of times I've heard people laughing in Whole Foods, where they're actually enjoying being there, meeting someone, and, you know, it's that's an important part of anything you do. You should enjoy it. You know, there should be an openness to, you know, something happening. So I, you know, that moment was very, very special for me, because she literally appeared out of nowhere, took time off from what she was doing, went back and rummaged through God knows what, found what I was looking for, found me in the store, and then disappeared again. So it's about how we configure who we are and our willingness to do that. Okay, anybody else have any questions? So if you're interested, I will sign the book, and I'm going to finish, and then I'll be here for any other questions you have. So thank you for being here, and Betsy and Jim, thank you. Great. These are people live from Aikido, so we've trained together many years. So once again, thanks.
So in a moment, we will have a donation bowl over here, which is what we put out for people to contribute to help support our guests and our store, so that we can continue to offer these things in the future. And Paul, I want to thank you on behalf of my
thank
guests.
You.
It's really wonderful.
Thank you. Betsy, we're over to
okay.
Can you get a glass of wine? Can
where are you going?
Can
you now?
Yeah.
Okay. Well done.
Thank you.
Yeah. Really nice presentation. Mm-hmm. Yeah, really
fun.
Nice. Yeah,
yeah. It's
good.
You're here.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah, I hear you guys. He was able to make Kayla's.
Yeah. Craig was at Kayla's. It was way fun. Had a good time. We did Yermanati together.
Oh,
by that time, my neck
I'm assuming he's not about to sit down again.
Oh, yes.
Because I took your chair away.
Oh, thank you. Back over there. You got it's right over there. Okay, great.
Do I get my free signed book?
Yes, we'll do it over at the
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I brought a copy with
the
me.
The cover is wonderful.
That's yeah. John. Is it Enzo from John?
It's beautiful.
Well,
I like
being further away.
Yeah. I like it. It's really nice. That's nice how they.
Yeah.
I think what I did was I sort of copied the Send Mind Beginner's Mind.
Mm-hmm. 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 It's beautiful. It's just speaks for itself. Yeah. So watch out on the bottom. I didn't realize they were sticky. My hands were like, oh my God, I'm going to a bookstore.
Sticky.
So Odin was here when I came in.
Oh good.
Yeah, he's working here now.
Yeah.
And I remember having to tell him to wash his gi. Remember that he never washed his gi?
Oh, no, I don't remember that part.